Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Today, Nathan will conclude his two-part Thanksgiving message with our thankfulness. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. At this time of the year, it's traditional to think of all the things that we are thankful for. But do we ever consider the importance that God puts on thankfulness in His Word? It is very important to God that His people be thankful. And so we're going to examine what God says about thankfulness today in the dispensation of grace. Now, last time, we considered the example of Paul and the things that Paul was thankful for, such as the faith and love of God's people, his fellowship with them and his memories of them, and every good thing in them. Well, today we will consider how Paul commands us and tells us that we should be thankful to God. So look at ways we should thank God today, starting out in the book of Ephesians. And we'll be looking at Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 3 through 4. And I'll be reading today from the Resultant Version of Otis Q. Sellers, the founder of the Word of Truth Ministry. In Ephesians 3:5, it says, "But fornication and impurity, every kind of it, or covetousness, let these not be named among you, according as is becoming in saints. And obscenity and stupid speaking or jesting, which are beneath you, but rather thanksgiving." So Paul here talks about things that believers should not be talking about. This should not be their common topic of conversation. This shouldn't be what they're focused on, dwelling on. Fornication, every kind of impurity, covetousness. He says, don't let these be named among you. Don't let such things be happening among you, as is becoming saints. And then obscenity and stupid speaking or jesting or joking. So obscene or stupid jokes. And so many people, they tell these dirty jokes or these racy jokes. Paul says, no, those things are beneath you. And this isn't Paul being prudish. This is the reality. We are in Jesus Christ. We have the righteousness of Christ. We are righteous people and we should live righteous. We should walk righteous. We shouldn't be getting mixed up in dirty joking and jesting and dirty talk. They're beneath us as children of God. But then notice what he says. Instead of these things, he says, but rather thanksgiving. So after saying what we shouldn't be talking about, fornication, which is improper sexual union, impurity, every kind of impurity, covetousness, wanting things that don't belong to you, obscene and stupid speaking and joking, says, don't talk about those things. Instead, talk about thanksgiving. Talk about the things you're thankful for. That's what you should be talking about. That's what should be coming out of your mouth, is thankfulness, not these other things. So he says, talk about things you're thankful for instead of about these impure things. Then, if we go down in the same chapter to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 19 through 20. He tells us more about what we should be speaking when he says in Ephesians 5:19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he says what? He says that psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing, and especially the melody in your heart, in your inner being. So if you're just mouthing the words and going through the motions of singing a song, but inside you're thinking about what you're going to have for lunch and not dwelling on it, well, there's no melody going on in your heart. But it's the melody in your heart as you sing that really matters. But notice that singing and praising God, that those things lead to an attitude of thankfulness. When we talk about how great God is, when we sing to Him, sing out of gratitude, sing out of love, that leads us to thankfulness. And then he says, after singing, he says, is giving thanks to God the Father always for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So thankfulness should just be part of our Christian behavior. It should just be part of what we do, just like singing. We should be thankful to God. Now moving on to the next book, the book of Philippians. We have Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 through 7, where it says, Philippians 4, 6, let nothing be worrying you, but in everything, by means of prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which is superior to every frame of mind, will garrison your hearts and your apprehensions in Christ Jesus. So he talks about prayer and petition with thanksgiving. So he says, even while you are making petition, even while you are making request, do it with thanksgiving. And you ever think about that? When you're requesting things from God, think about things you can be thankful for at the same time. Maybe you're praying to God for the salvation of one of your friends or loved ones who doesn't know the Lord. Well, do you ever at the same time think about thanking Him for those friends and loved ones who do know the Lord? Maybe you're asking Him for enough money to be able to purchase a new car as yours just died. Do you ever think about thanking Him for how long your old car lasted and maybe how few repairs you had to make on it until it died and maybe how it got you through bad weather and got you through all the miles? Well, yes, he says, even when you're praying and making petitions, do it with thanksgiving. Be thankful to God for the things you have while you're asking Him for the things you don't have. And that's when he tells us to make our petitions with thanksgiving. He also says then that the peace of God, which is superior to every frame of mind, will garrison your hearts and your apprehensions in Christ Jesus. In other words, he says, as you make your requests with thankfulness, that will bring peace. That will bring the peace of God. And I think when our prayers are all always caught up in asking for things we don't have. Well, I don't have this, please give it to me, God. And I don't have that, please give it to me, God. And I don't have this, please give it to me, God. Well, that's going to lead to an attitude of discontent, isn't it? That's going to lead to a lot of inner turmoil, a lot of dissatisfaction. But if while you're praying to God, even while you're asking Him for things you don't have, you're at the same time thanking Him for all the things you do, say, wow, maybe this particular loved one of mine doesn't know the Lord, but look, this one does, and so does this one. And man, that one came to the Lord recently. That's awesome. And so forth. Well, that attitude of thankfulness is going to help bring peace. Whereas just making requests and not looking at all the requests that maybe God has granted already is going to lead us away from peace. So he says, even while you make requests, give thanks and you'll have peace. Now moving on to the next book, the book of Colossians. What does Paul say in Colossians about being thankful? Well, in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3, we read this. We are giving thanks unto God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, always praying concerning you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus, and also the love which you have for all the hallowed ones. This faith and love is through the expectation that is reserved for you among the exalted ones. Of this you have heard before in the declaration of the truth of the gospel. So Paul is giving thanks to God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, as he prays concerning the Colossians. What about? Well, he heard of their faith in Christ Jesus. And he heard of the love which they had for all the saints. We talked about that last time, all the hallowed ones. And this faith and love is through the expectation, the hope, that is reserved for you among the exalted ones. So he talks about being thankful in light of our hope. And again, hope is not what I hope will happen, like I buy a lottery ticket and hope I'll win. Yeah, fat chance. And even if I did, you ever looked at what happens to lottery winners? Usually it ruins their lives. But no, it's not just something you're hoping against hope will happen, but it's what you're expecting, it's what you're waiting to have happen. It's like the child who's going through high school hoping to graduate. Well, he's getting straight A's and he's heading there. I mean, he has no reason to think he won't. He's expecting to, but he's looking forward to it. He's expecting it. That's hope. And we have an expectation among the exalted ones. And in light of that, Colossians 1 verse 12 says, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us competent for our share of the portion of the hallowed ones in the light. How can we hope to be among God's most exalted ones? I mean, when I name God's most exalted ones from Scripture, men like Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, Joseph, Moses and Aaron, Joshua, or the judges, David, the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel. When I named God's great ones, how could I hope to ever measure up to men like them? Well, he says, give thanks to the Father because he has made us competent for our share of the portion of the hallowed ones in the light. He says, be thankful that he has made us competent, that he has made us able to receive our inheritance, to be a partaker of the inheritance that all God's saints are going to receive. How can I hope to stand among the greats of Scripture? Because God makes me competent. So I thank him for my ability to even be there, and I thank him for making me a partaker of that inheritance. Well, that's something to be thankful for indeed. Our hope and our ability to receive the hope, it all comes from him. Well, then Colossians 2 and verse 7, and we'll actually start reading in verse 6. He says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so also be walking in him, being rooted and built up in him, and making yourselves sure in your faith as you have been taught, superabounding in that faith, and doing it with thanksgiving. So he says that we should superabound in our faith. And hopefully you know what abounding is. It's like when you're filling up a glass, filling it up, say, with water or something. And you're filling it up, and you fill it up, and you fill it up, and you fill it, it's getting close, but you keep going. You fill it up to the brim, and you keep going, and it just starts pouring over the sides of the cup. Because you've abounded. You filled up more than the cup could hold, more than you needed to fill. That's abounding. And so he says, not only make sure of your faith, as you have been taught, by studying the Scripture, knowing the Scripture, and believing the Scripture, but superabound in that faith. Be overflowing with it. Have it coming out the top of the cup. And then superabound with thanksgiving. Just be thankful for all the things you have faith in. And thankfulness helps our faith to abound. It helps it to overflow. It helps it to pour over the top. It helps it to have more than enough. Then Colossians 3 and verse 15 says, and let the peace of Christ settle all questionings in your hearts, for which you are positioned in one body, and be thankful. So notice Paul here is getting commands. Let the peace of Christ settle the questionings in your hearts. And then he says, and be thankful. So notice thankfulness there is not given as an option. It's given as a command. God commands us to be thankful. We have every reason to be thankful. Look at all that God has done for us. And how inappropriate and improper is it not to be thankful? So he simply commands us to do it. He says, be thankful. And then a couple verses down, Colossians 3:17. He says, and whatsoever you may be doing in word and in work, all things do in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So he says, everything you do, everything you say in word and everything you do in work, he says, do them all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it all in him, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So he says, in all you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus and do it giving thanks to God. So we should give thanks in all that we do. We should be thankful in all that we do. and in all that we say. We should always be thankful. And then finally, to finish up the book of Colossians, Colossians 4 and verse 2. He says in Colossians 4 and verse 2, "Be persevering in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving." So he says, be persevering in prayer. Continue in prayer. Continue to pray. And be watchful in prayer and do it with thanksgiving. So he says, keep on being thankful when you pray. Pray and give thanks and give thanks and give thanks. So that completes the book of Colossians. And then we go on to 1 Timothy for our last couple passages on prayer. First of all, 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul says, "I exhort therefore that first of all," and first of all there means of first importance, "petitions, prayers, pleadings, and thanksgiving be made for mankind." So Paul lists four words that have to do with prayer here: petition, prayers, pleadings, and thanksgiving. And some people have actually used those to say those are the four different kinds of prayer. Well, that's not a bad thought. But of course, we aren't studying prayer right now. We're studying thanksgiving. And notice that one of those four kinds of prayer is thanksgiving. And Paul says of first importance is prayer. And one part of that prayer needs to be thanksgiving. And then thanksgiving for what? Well, first of all, he says for mankind. Give thankfulness for all men, for all mankind. Thank God for making Adam's race, in spite of all the problems with it. But then notice what else he says in verse 2, "for rulers and for all who hold a superior station, that we might be leading a quiet and peaceable life in all devoutness and honesty." So he says, make these prayers, including petitions, prayers, pleadings, and thanksgiving, for rulers and all who hold a superior station. Well, we can certainly see praying and petitioning God to give us good rulers, and that our rulers will let us lead a quiet and peaceable life. But what about giving thanksgiving for rulers? Well, I suppose in America, we find it easy to give thanksgiving for our rulers when they're the ones we like. Maybe they're the ones we voted for. They're the ones of our party. A little harder when the other party's rulers are the ones that win, and the other party's rulers are the ones that are in office. And in that case, I think we tend more to complain about them than we do to give thanks for them. And I'm not going to deny I'm probably as guilty as anybody else when it comes to that, not liking the rulers from the other party. But he says we should give thanks for our rulers. And think about if we didn't have rulers, or if we weren't able to have our own rulers, if we were actually being ruled over by a nation that had conquered us. Well, I think we'd be thankful to have our own rulers, even if they weren't exactly of our persuasion. So we can and should give thanks for rulers. But that's a hard one for us sometimes to do. And so is the next one, the one we're leaving off with, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting in verse 1, where he says, "Now the Spirit is saying explicitly that in subsequent eras some shall withdraw from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and to the teaching of demons, expressing lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience cauterized with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, abstaining from foods which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them who believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer." So what is it he said we should give thanksgiving for? He says we should give thanksgiving for food. Now this is something that I think is also particularly hard for us to do in our society, in our culture, in the United States of America. Why? And you might say, well, I always do that. Before my meal, I always pray and I always say, "Thank you, Lord, for this food." And we do. I think we generally do that. We thank God for the food. But I wonder, after thanking him, are we really thankful? Are we thankful how we talk about the food afterwards? Suppose I gave you a gift. Say it was a cooking pot. You open up the gift, you saw the cooking pot, and you said, "Oh, thank you. I needed a cooking pot. Thank you very much." But then he looked at it and he said, you know, that handle's kind of short. I like a cooking pot with a long handle. And, that cooking pot, it has quite a bit of weight on it, doesn't it? You know, I like a cooking pot that's kind of in between, not too much weight, not too little weight. This one's kind of heavy. And what is that cooking pot made out of? Is that stainless steel? I don't think that's stainless steel. I prefer a stainless steel cooking pot. Well, it's got some kind of coating on it, doesn't it? Is that a good coating? I like, if it's not stainless steel, I want a good coating on there. I don't want some cheap coating. That looks like it might be a cheap coating. You're saying all that? Well, I might say, well, I'm sorry that you don't appreciate the pot. I'm sorry you aren't thankful. You said, well, what are you talking about? I said thank you for the pot, didn't I? Well, yes, but I think your whole attitude afterward showed that you weren't thankful, didn't it? And how about when we say to God, oh, God, thank you for this food. Then we start eating the food and we said, oh, this has broccoli in it. I hate broccoli. Oh, man, this isn't very good. I don't like this. I'm going to take the tomatoes. I hate tomatoes. And we're just rating the food. I mean, that's what we do. And most of us have never gone through having to wonder where our next meal comes from. Maybe a few of my listeners went through the Great Depression and did. But most of us were born after that. And for us, food is always there. We never have to worry about eating to live, eating to survive, eating to stave off that horrible, hungry, starving feeling. No, we don't even comprehend that. And so for us, food is entertainment. We rate it like we do entertainment. You watch a TV show and you say, oh, that was a good show. Or, man, that was poor. I'm never watching that show again. Or that was an exciting game. Or that game was boring. Or I like football, but I don't like baseball. Or I like baseball, but I don't really like football. We do that with entertainment, and we do that with food. We rate it. We approve or disapprove of it. We talk about, I like this and I don't like that. But is that an attitude of thanksgiving? Is there anything thankful about that? See, I think this is something that we have a real problem with in the United States, is we have a problem with being thankful for our food. Because for us, it's entertainment. Now, when I'm saying this, I'm saying it as much myself as anybody else, because I'm in the same situation. But God says it's important to be thankful for your food. God created our food to be received with thanksgiving. And notice here, part of the doctrine, the teaching of demons, its purpose is to encourage us to abstain religiously from food that we ought to instead be thankful for. So the demons are trying to get us to reject food instead of be thankful for it. Now, I don't think the demons waste their time trying to entice us to do things that don't really matter. And I think it matters to God that we're thankful for our food. And it apparently matters to demons to get us not to be thankful for it. And I think that should be a sobering thought. It should make us realize how important it is to God that we're thankful for our food. And realize maybe how insulting it is to him when we say, oh God, thank you for this food. But why did you make tomatoes? And they're disgusting. I mean, what were you thinking up there? And can't you do better than that? Come on, God. Create a better tasting vegetable. Isn't that what we're saying sometimes? Wow, maybe we should think about this in our own minds and hearts and ponder, how can I be more thankful for my food? So thankfulness is something that is of first importance to God. Yet I think it's something that each and every one of us struggles with. We need to remember all that God has done for us and to work at making thankfulness for all the good things God has given us, for our hope, for our rulers, for our food, for all the good things God has given us. Just make thankfulness a part of our everyday lives. Well, may we do that. May we be thankful.
The Apostle Paul urges us to have a thankful heart and mind toward God in our prayers, for the hope and faith we have, for all men, including our rulers, and for the food we receive every day. It is clear that thankfulness is of first importance to God. So let us strive to be thankful in everything we do. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on our thankfulness. On our next program, Nathan will return to his teaching series on the final stages with the new heaven and the new earth. Thank you for joining us today. We trust that you are learning that the more you study God's Word, the more you can know God. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other downloadable material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. We offer a free weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this radio program, going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. Email Nathan at nathan@knowinggodintheword.org and ask to be placed on his mailing list. You can also write to us with Bible questions or comments. For more Bible study literature by Nathan and other Bible teachers, including Seed and Bread Bible studies, please visit the Word of Truth Ministry at seedandbread.org or write to the Word of Truth Ministry, P.O. Box 1609, Canyon Country, California, 91386. Although your donations are always appreciated, you will not be solicited for funds in any way when you write, so feel free to contact us. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. So long for now, but we look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.